You're either choosing your life or changing it. There is no in between. So once you kind of recognize, hey, you know what? I'm in this space. I don't want to be in it. I want to get out. Make that commitment and take those steps.
Welcome to the Inspired to Thrive podcast. I'm your host, Phoebe Lay, and in each episode, I will be sharing with you insights from either an inspiring person or myself to help you thrive and shine online and in person. We talk about all things marketing, relationships, money, business, growth, mindset, and more. So thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to seeing you inspired to thrive. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Inspired to Thrive and Shine podcast. Today, I am excited to introduce Audrey Kramer. Audrey has been on a mission to help people see the best versions of themselves for as long as she can remember. With a background in counseling and in psychology, she discovered her true passion lay in problem prevention rather than problem solving. That realization led her to pivot from therapy to becoming a professionally certified elite coach, a pathway she helps clients uncover their own answers and reimagine themselves from fresh perspectives. Audrey's experience includes countless conference presentations on mindfulness, feedback, and even a course she developed on self-love, a topic we definitely all need a little bit more of. As a coach, Audrey's all about exploring possibilities, asking what if to create a clear vision for her clients, guiding them to bring their best selves to work, home, and in life. Audrey, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I am so excited to be here.
I'm so thrilled that you're here as well. You are such an expert on this topic, and I am very excited to dive right in. But before we begin, I'd love to know, what was, I guess, the pivotal thing that got you to start this journey into helping your clients uncover their own answers and reimagining themselves from new perspectives, especially if they have been challenged by living their lives in either toxic relationships or toxic shame or just unhealthy environments?
Yeah, I think for me, that was the biggest thing is I've been in toxic workplaces and toxic relationships, and I got tired of kind of living my life by everybody else's rules. And, you know, why do I always have to cater to everyone else? And when is it going to be my time to step into my power and use my voice for good? And I've seen so many other people in the workplace, friends and family members, clients who are very stuck in similar situations. I've always wanted more time to do this, but I feel guilty taking the time to do it. Or, man, every time I try to do this, my coworker is right in my face, like doing something wrong or bringing me down. And it was just so disheartening for me to see that people feel stuck in these situations and they don't know, one, that they're in these situations. Maybe they think that it's normal. Or two, they don't know how to speak up and set boundaries for themselves so that they actually can live the life that they want to live. So this has been a passion project of mine because I've personally experienced it, but then also working with clients and friends as well to help them live their best lives. It's just amazing.
Now, before we dive in and start going deep in this conversation, I'd love to first understand, what is the definition of a toxic relationship and what is a codependent relationship? Is there a difference between codependency and a toxic relationship?
I would say there's definitely a big difference. For toxic relationships, that's definitely going to be a clash in values. To me, honesty is very important. And the job that I was working at the time, they were taking money from our clients and just kind of covering up all the little icky things. And so it was very much like, I'm trying to do the right thing and others around me are not. And so that values clash is going to be really significant. Also, something that just feels like it's draining you or taking away your power. You know, if you go home at the end of the day and you're just ruminating on all that negativity and you don't have space to bring any kind of positivity into your life, that's definitely a toxic relationship. I think codependency has a lot of those similarities, but it also is very much, you can have this in a relationship that's not necessarily toxic in a negative sense. But say, for example, you're with a romantic partner and you feel like you can't do anything without them and you're no longer two separate people. You're just one person. And so you always need them to kind of justify or validate everything that you're doing. And you don't have a sense of self other from them, which can be really damaging, right? So it's a little bit different, but both of them kind of go into this sort of negative space of not being able to be your own self.
I'd love to know, what is the difference between a codependent relationship and trauma bonding?
That's a very good question. Codependency, I think to me, and this is, I haven't necessarily been in a trauma bonded relationship, so I don't want to speak for that experience necessarily, but codependency can seem like a positive thing, right? Like if you're in a good relationship and you both have a good dynamic and you enjoy doing things together and you're both collaborating, but you have that really strong connection of like, oh, we are one person. Whereas trauma bonding is a little bit different. You know, traumatic things actually leave an imprint on our brain and our body. So I think you're familiar with the book, The Body Keeps the Score. It's a very similar thing of like, you know, your body's in this fight or flight mode. And this is actually one of the reasons we kind of stay in toxic relationships, because that space is predictable. We know what's coming and it feels safe. So it makes it really hard to get out of that situation. And so in that sense, you're kind of bonded to your trauma, because that's the thing that's like steady and keeping your life at a sense of normal.
Wow. So trauma bonding would probably occur for people that have been through trauma in their childhoods, or maybe it's become normal for them growing up as a child.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. So I'd love to know, how can someone recognize the signs of a toxic or codependent relationship, especially when they're deeply invested or emotionally attached?
Yeah, recognition is super, super important, because until you get to that point, you're kind of just stuck in this, why do I feel so awful all the time? So some of the signs for me were just kind of a frustration of like, it was almost kind of feeling like I was being gaslit. Like, am I doing something wrong? Am I the problem? Is there one more thing that I haven't tried yet? So if you feel like you're coming to the space and you're really trying hard to make it work and it's just not working and things are either staying the same or getting worse, but they're definitely not getting better, that's probably a pretty good red flag that, you know, hey, this isn't working out. Our values aren't aligning. If you're running out of energy, like if you come home at the end of the day and you literally just cannot do anything but dissociate from everything that happened during the day, you're not able to engage with your friends or family. You're not as social. You're not going out and doing things. You just want to go home and shut down at the end of the day, or even just to escape. You know, I was in a toxic relationship. And it was like, I have to get out of the house. Like, I can't sit here and be in the same space as you. I need to go to the gym, because then at least I'll be in a better space to come back to you and maybe try again or try something different. And it just was like always feeling that need to run away, because being in that space was just, it was too much noise. It was too overwhelming, too negative. So if you have those spaces that you're in, that just every time you're in them, like you can feel it, you know, your body tenses up, you get anxious, you kind of have that fight or flight, your breathing might get a little more shallow. And even thinking about going into that space, if you know you're going to walk into a room where there's somebody that you're in a toxic relationship with, whether that's a coworker, a friend, a romantic partner, and you're automatically responding to that before you even get in the room, that's probably also a pretty good sign that that's not a good space to be.
Wow, that's such a good point. And I can totally resonate with that. There have definitely been times in my unhealthy relationship where I've felt that way, where I've just been like, I would rather not be in the house right now and go to my own place, or like go down to the beach and not have you there. And that's clear signs. But a lot of the time, a lot of people go through, you know, it has to be really, really bad before they realize that there is something wrong. So I'd love to know, what role does self-awareness play in helping someone get out of that environment and situation?
Yeah, absolutely. I was actually working with a client a little while ago who stayed in a toxic relationship for 10 years because that's what was modeled to them by their parents. And so the constant like arguing and undermining and little tiny control pieces, they were red flags, but that person just kind of ignored them because, oh, my parents were like this, and this is what a normal relationship is like. And so to spend an entire decade like that, just thinking, oh, it's going to get better, or this is just the way that it is. You know, oftentimes we kind of trick ourselves into thinking, well, this is normal. Everybody's relationship is like this. But it's so hard to say that because you're not in every relationship to know the dynamic from couple to couple to couple. So if that's what's presented to you as normal, it takes a lot of self-confidence to say, this is not what I want for my life, and to finally step up and say, no, this is not okay, and I need to leave. And oftentimes I've had this happen with a couple of different clients. It actually takes some kind of threat to their environment or to their safety for them to finally say, okay, I've had enough. I've had a client who their partner showed up at their house when they weren't home, and they were really worried about it. I had another client who he was a craftsman and he made instruments, and his partner came into the house while he wasn't home and like destroyed all of the instruments that he had made, you know, and he has kids at home and it's a safety concern and all of those things. So oftentimes it takes this really significant event where your fight or flight kind of goes into overdrive of like, wait a minute, this isn't just like a long-term holding pattern. This is something that's starting to get a little bit serious. So until that wake-up call happens, you know, we kind of justify this is normal. This is comfortable. It feels safe to me because I know what to expect. And sometimes, too, it plays a little bit into self-worth. When I was in college, I had a very low self-esteem at one particular point, and I was dating the most awful guy, and he treated me very poorly. But in my head, I remember very clearly saying, I'm in this relationship because I deserve to be treated this way. And I don't know what it was in my head that one day I woke up and I'm like, what am I doing? Like, I need to kick this guy to the curb. I do not want this for my life, and I deserve better than this. So sometimes it's just like a moment where you go, wait a minute, this isn't what I want for my life. But yeah, there's all kind of reasons why we just kind of stay, we don't recognize it, or we think we deserve that kind of treatment, and we absolutely do not.
Yeah. So what was the driving force behind you realizing you need to kick that guy in the curb?
That was one of those like little miracle moments, and I don't know if it's because I was in college and so I was like going to class and trying to be educated and do better for myself and make a life for myself. And sometimes you have those moments where you just kind of look down the road to the future and you go, if I stay with this person, what does my life look like? And you go, I don't want that. Like, what am I doing? So at that point, you know, I'm not going to spend any more time on it. I'm just going to leave and do better.
I'm so glad to hear that. I mean, there's definitely a wake-up call moment for everybody. And I think a lot of the time, yes, it does take things getting to a point where it is just all too much before that person realizes and leaves. But at the same time, it's one of those things where the more we are educated and the more we become aware, the less likely people are to stay in these relationships. And a lot of the time, it will involve breaking the norm. So it might be that someone has gone away, gone on holiday, or spent more time with their friends or people that are in healthy relationships that they start to reflect and think and realize, okay, maybe this isn't going well. Like maybe this isn't what I actually want. But it's very, very tricky, especially if someone is isolated and they're isolated from their friends and their family and from their network. I'd love to hear your thoughts on isolation and the damage that it causes.
Yeah, sometimes it's kind of this, you know, you need to get away and get that space because when you're in that toxic environment, it's just full of so much noise, not only from the external, the person that you're with, or whatever the case may be, but also from yourself because you have all these thoughts racing through your mind of, did I do something wrong? Am I in danger? What can I do better? I'm walking on eggshells so that they don't explode. And so you're just constantly in this state of tension. And not only does that impact your mind and your thought patterns, but also your body. Again, your body is keeping track of all these little stressors. And when you're in fight or flight, and when you're walking on eggshells, you're constantly in fight or flight. Your body is taking away from systems that it doesn't need to put towards the systems that are geared towards survival. And if you don't realize that, you're kind of in that state all the time and your body is just going downhill and you don't even see it. So having that space is really important. And when you're by yourself and you don't have a good social network, you can't reach out to family, you don't have ways to kind of get away from that. That isolation is really hard because you feel alone. You feel like even if you wanted to get out, you wouldn't know how, you don't know what your resources are. And so you just kind of resign yourself to being stuck. It is so important to find even just little moments, even if it's in your own mind, like you lie down to go to bed to just take 5 minutes, or like, oh, I'm just going to watch TV for an extra 5 minutes, or whatever it is to give yourself that little bit of separation. Physical is great. If you can get in another room, get outside, go to the park for a day or something like that. Find a meetup group and see if somebody's running a book club that you can say, hey, I'm going to book club. But if you can't, even just taking that mental space to say, okay, I'm going to put on headphones, listen to music, and I'm just going to take, you know, even 5 minutes to just breathe and kind of center myself, get that grounding piece and give yourself a little bit of clarity. It is so, so helpful, but so, so hard to do when you feel like you're alone.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't stress that more. And this has been a big part of what we've discussed in the show in previous episodes. And I love that you mentioned that because creating space, even by saying that you have an event on or that you want to go for a walk or maybe take the dogs out or go down to your local cafe, and do things alone, away from that person, is really, really important. And that's healthy in all dynamics. That's definitely a practice that is very, very important. I'd love to know, like, what are some specific steps or practices that can help people start to break free from those cycles and not attract that again?
Yeah. So first thing, just recognition, being honest with your situation. Again, sometimes it's we think that's normal and we don't know any better. So once you have that clarity, that's the number one thing. If you can recognize the space that you're in and know that you need to get out, then you can start moving towards what are my resources? How do I set boundaries and all of those types of things. I was reading a quote in a book the other day by Adam Carroll, and he said, "You're either choosing your life or changing it. There is no in between." So once you kind of recognize, hey, you know what? I'm in this space. I don't want to be in it. I want to get out. Make that commitment and take those steps. Once you've decided to do it, that's a thought in your head. But once you've committed to do it, then you're actually taking the steps. You're doing the research. You know, when I was in my toxic job, it was okay, for a while, I'm just going to brain rot on YouTube and watch a bunch of stuff. But once I actually committed to leaving, then it was I'm watching YouTube videos on how to brush up my resume. I'm practicing interviewing questions. I'm looking at the job market to see what jobs and actually putting in applications. So it was a much more progressive thing versus, okay, I'm just going to shut down. It's I'm actually taking steps to do the thing, whether that's looking at different apartments. If you have to stay on a friend's couch for a while, like what resources do you have? Another really big piece of this is clarifying your values and setting your boundaries. You can have all the resources in the world and leave that space, but if you're not actively taking steps to protect your peace once you leave, it is quite possible you're going to find yourself in that same situation. So, what are your values? And these are things that are so integral to who you are that if you took them away, you wouldn't even recognize yourself. I'm very big on honesty. So, at my job where they were stealing from our clients, that was a very big clash in values. So, to me, that's super important. Gratitude is another really big value of mine. So, once you clarify what those values are, setting boundaries. And setting boundaries is just protecting your space. It's not infringing on anyone else's space or telling them how to behave or how they're going to act. It's saying, hey, this is my space. And if you're violating that space in any way, here's what I'm going to do. If you're coming at me and attacking me verbally, I'm just going to walk away and leave the room. And, you know, if you're able to talk calmly, cool, we can reengage. If not, see you later. So, setting those boundaries of what you want your life to look like and actively taking steps to protect that space are really, really important. Again, identifying your resources and support. It could be professional, it could be financial. In severe cases of toxic relationships, it could be, you know, finding a shelter or food or whatever the case may be. But again, recognizing your worth. I found a quote the other day and I actually screenshotted it because it was so good. People who repeatedly attack your confidence and self-esteem are quite aware of your potential, even if you're not. And I think that speaks volumes because a
Wow.
lot of times people are like beating down on us, right? And we're like, oh, well, we must be garbage. And so we make ourselves small, but realize that they're attacking you because they're threatened by you. And that should be a good thing. And you should feel very powerful about that.
That is so true and so good. Anyone that's listening, hear that again. If someone is attacking you or someone is putting you down or you're feeling trapped, it's most likely because that person can see your potential and the power that you have. And you have a lot more power than you think. We all have a lot more power than we think. And the key is, firstly, step away from environments that hold us back, that keep us small. That's number one. Number two is self-love. I think definitely like valuing yourself is so important because if you don't have that self-love, you're going to say, well, I deserve this. I don't deserve any better. No one else is going to love me better. I can't love myself better. So you stay. But in actual fact, you can have a much better life, and the other side is so much juicier and so much better. It is just full of freedom and peace and tranquility and serenity if you choose that, if that's what you want.
Say too, like realizing that you're your number one priority. You can be in a
Yes.
loving relationship and be supportive of each other, but if you're not putting yourself first, like that's nobody else's job but your own. So definitely stand up for yourself because you're worth it.
Yeah, a lot of the time when that is happening, people don't realize they're not standing up for themselves. I know I look back And I didn't realize I wasn't standing up for myself when I was in my toxic relationship. I remember thinking, oh, I've got to do this because this is what a kind partner, a kind and understanding and loving and caring partner does, because I was being
Yeah.
told I was not. And so I was like, okay, I'll be more patient. I'll be more understanding. I'll just overlook more and more things. And gosh, to all the women that are still in those environments, or you've left one toxic relationship and gone straight into another, and that person is treating you really, really, really nice, I would still be very careful, because I think that a lot of the time we don't see the red flags, and the red flags might not come up until much later on. I was at a cafe yesterday with a friend. We spent like 3 hours talking about this, and we were discussing the difference between falling head over heels early on in a relationship. It might just be too fast, but it's genuine, versus love bombing, and what's the difference. And one of the things that we discovered was they feel actually very similar. Like for the receiver, they're actually two very, very similar things. It's just, oh, that person's really, really nice and really, really into me. The difference is one is genuine and one is done with intention, with motives. And it's like there's a plot, there's a plan, and there's an ulterior motive. And that's the difference. So for anyone that has gone into a new relationship after coming out of a toxic relationship and it feels really, really good, I say it's still really important to definitely keep looking and analyzing and looking at the signs and going, okay, is that person really matching up with their words? Do they genuinely care? Do they like really genuinely care? And this could be very hard to tell at the start. I know I was constantly asking those questions as well, but eventually I was like, oh, yeah, no, it must be real. They seem to really, really be into me and even be able to express, deep sadness or tears. And I thought that meant it was genuine.
This is where that codependency piece, right? If we're so glued to the other and you've got that honeymoon phase of everyone's on their best behavior, it's like an interview in the first week of the job, you're going to be on your best behavior. So if you still have that really healthy sense of self and you've established those boundaries and you uphold those from the beginning, see how they react to that. Hey, I'm going to go out with the girls for a drink and see how they react to you not being home and being away where they don't have eyes on you all the time. You know, all of those little things, set your boundaries. I'm going to take my own space. I'm going to be away for a bit. This is something that I'm interested in that I'm going to go do and kind of watch their reactions and realize that it is going to take time. It may be in the beginning that they're totally normal and totally cool with everything, but 6, 7, 8 months down the road, they start to get annoyed. Oh, well, why are you always going out with them and you're never home with me or those types of things. So I think, you know, that love bombing that has an intention behind it. Over time, you're going to find that out versus that head over heels in love. Over time, you guys are going to grow together versus like growing in the same direction or growing apart. And you won't notice those little annoyances and irks quite as much. It'll be like the normal, like, oh, you said you were going to take the garbage down and you didn't do it. But it's not going to be like, oh, hey, you're doing something without me and I don't like the people that you're going out with. So it's going to feel very different over time. And I think, you know, that's why it's so important to establish those boundaries and uphold them and then just keep an eye on it, like you said.
Oh my goodness, I think you've hit the nail on the head for sure. If someone is saying to you, where are you? Do you need a lift? Should I pick you up? No, and you're like, oh, I'm out with friends. And they're like, oh, do you want a lift? Do you want a lift to your car? And they are constantly like, wanting to be around. Maybe you're saying, I'm going to a business networking event. And they're like, oh, okay, I'll come with you. I'll like hold your handbag. Don't just hold your own handbag. Don't fall for that trap. Because it does become very toxic and codependent. And, before you know it, you're like, where did all my time to myself go? And at the start, it might feel really good. It might feel really, really nice to have your partner around all the time. But eventually, that becomes very, very unhealthy. And I think, having been in healthy relationships, I think it's important to have your own space and physical space as well. Like, I personally really value living apart from my partner, because I think that gives you time to be able to, regroup and have your own space. And you also have that time apart where you miss each other as well. And once a week, go and see your girlfriends or go and hang out with your network regularly, your crew from work or whatever. Don't spend every spare moment, weekends, long weekends, public holidays, weeknights, every single weeknight with your partner, because that can become, it's also just not an environment where you learn from new people as well. It's not an environment to grow because you're constantly with that person anyway. You're probably going on holidays with them at some point. But the more people that you meet and interact with, the more likely you're able to see new ideas, grow, and forge even more meaningful relationships.
And to have something to be excited to share with them too, because if you're with each other all the time, every single day, again, like you said, you're not growing, you're kind of stuck in that space. And then every day gets kind of boring. My partner and I have been together for 5 years. And last year we went to Paris. It was like first international travel. It was absolutely incredible. And when we were there, I was like, we've really needed this trip because you don't realize over the 4 years that we were together before then, we kind of got stuck in this routine and life was kind of dull and boring. And we felt like something was missing. And to be in that different environment, even if it's with the same person and you have new sights, new sound, new food, new everything. And it just was such this incredible eye-opening thing that we were like, oh, we got to share this really cool experience. So even if you have those experiences outside of the relationship, to be able to bring it back and again, just grow together as a couple.
Yeah, that's so true. Audrey, I'd love to hear for someone that feels lost or disconnected from themselves after leaving a toxic relationship, what advice would you give them to help them rediscover their own identity?
Yeah, I would say, first of all, if you're thinking about leaving a toxic relationship, there are definitely things that you can expect once you get on the other side. One, freedom of control. You can have your own dreams. You get to build your own life. And sometimes it's hard to do because you've been in that relationship for so long, you don't know where to start. Two, expect that you're going to need time to heal. When I left my toxic job, it literally took me 6 months to feel like a normal human again, because it was like just 6 more months of like, okay, deep breaths. Who am I as a person? What am I even interested in anymore? I don't even know. So it was like restarting, just building myself as a human. So expect that that's going to take some time. It will not happen right away. And just be aware that there's going to be judgment because there's two sides to every story. It's your workplace versus you, it's your ex versus you, it's your ex-friend or whatever versus you. So there are going to be people on that other side that are looking at you and judging you for making the choice to walk away and do better for yourself. Just be confident that you are doing the right thing and take your time. If it's, hey, you're watching a YouTube video or you're scrolling through Instagram and you see somebody crocheting this really cool, like Harry Potter scarf or whatever it is, and you go, oh man, you know what? I've always wanted to do that. Cool. Pick up some yarn and a crochet hook and learn how to do that. If you see people as you are driving down the highway and there's a dance studio and the lights are on and you can see everyone dancing, you go, man, that looks like fun. Be brave, be courageous, and go take a lesson or go join a party. It's going to take a lot of courage because you're used to having that other person next to you and you're used to having those other voices telling you, yes, this is okay, no, this is not okay. But realize that you now get to do that for yourself, and that's super cool. So try a bunch of things. If you're not an outdoorsy kind of person and you like video games, cool. Try a new video game. And maybe it's one of those multiplayer ones where you get to chat with people online. So you can maybe connect with people that way. Maybe just go for a stroll and engage in things that make your heart happy. It can be with people. It doesn't have to be with people. The way I met my partner now was by doing something that I loved, not because somebody else wanted to do it, but it was a thing that I enjoyed and I went out to go do. And that's where we met. And now we're together. So doing things that you're interested in and that light up your heart and just make you smile, those are really good opportunities to just get out. If you meet people, great, that's fantastic. If you don't meet people, at least you did something to make yourself happy.
Wow, that's so beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing that. I'd love to know what, in your experience, what role does forgiveness play when someone has left a toxic relationship?
Yeah, forgiveness is tricky because we often think of it as it has to be this two-way street. The other person has to know that we're forgiving them, but that kind of begets like the whole that person has to know that they did something wrong. And especially in toxic relationships, they don't think they did anything wrong. So if you forgive them, they're just going to look at you like you're crazy. But forgiveness is more for you as an individual person. And it's not to say everything that you did to me was okay. It's just to say, I'm not going to let it have control over my life anymore. So you can forgive that person silently. When I left my ex, I did a post on Facebook and I was like, hey, when we started this relationship, I thought things were great. It turns out we're going in different directions. I wish him well. I don't have any ill will towards him. But I'm going to move on with my life and just kind of letting go. And I will tell you, this is not a linear process. It's not a black and white. You forgive someone and then it's done. I think for me, especially with my job and with my ex, it's just been this continual process of thinking about the situation. And yes, what they did was hurtful, but also I learned a lot from it about what I'm willing to tolerate, what I'm going to stand up for myself, and ways for me to interact with other people too, because you see how they treated you and different conversations that they had, or they put you down or made you feel small. And you start to think about how do I interact with other people? And I do not want to be that person. And so you kind of grow in that sense of like, I learned who I don't want to be from them. So there's kind of this weird element of gratitude in there of thank you for teaching me how to stand up for myself and all the ways that I don't want to be as a human. And again, that forgiveness piece of I'm not going to let those feelings control my life anymore. I'm going to choose happiness. I'm going to choose growth. I'm going to choose personal development, and I'm going to choose myself. And I think that's the biggest piece.
Wow, that is such great advice. And for everyone that's listening, I think that the key is it's not linear. It does take time. And sometimes you might think that you've already gotten there and you have to go back and do it again and again and again. And the key is also knowing that we are human. We all have emotions. We're living a human experience. We're not, unfortunately, we aren't someone that can just instantly forgive, let go, heal, et cetera, et cetera. It does take time. And don't be a judge on how much time it's taken as well. It's okay to have days where you still feel angry or you still feel upset at yourself, but just make a choice every day because at the end of the day, forgiveness is about yourself. It helps you to heal and to move on. So I think it's really important to eventually get there because otherwise there's dis-ease in the body. And the more dis-ease there is in the body, eventually the body creates disease. I've seen people that have absolute unforgiveness towards people for decades. And when they hold on to that unforgiveness, it causes dis-ease. What kind of dis-ease? Heart disease. That's a big one. From the books that I've read, I've definitely seen that it's not good for us and it's better to just let go and move on. I'd also love to know, Audrey, how can someone start cultivating a healthy relationship after breaking free from toxicity? And what are some green flags that they can look out for when they're going back into the world of, finding love again?
Yeah, this is a concept I'm super excited about right now. You hear all the time, like your vibe attracts your tribe, or the importance of your five closest friends or who the people are that are surrounding you. And I think that's super, super important. So we've kind of talked about the red flags a little bit. Green flags, if you're working on a project or you're excited about something, who are the people around you that are cheering you on and saying, "Oh man, I can't wait. This is going to be so great for you." If you have an issue and you're just kind of saying it in passing, and somebody's like, "Oh, you know what? I have somebody that can help you. Can I put you in touch?" They're just constantly supporting you. They're willing to listen, like if you need to vent. And they're not the type of people who necessarily are going to say, "Oh, you're venting. Let me solve your problem." But hey, do you just want an ear to listen for a minute, or do you want some advice, or where can I help you with this? I think those people that are willing to kind of step up, they're definitely more positive, more a growth mindset. They're the people that are constantly working on, "Oh, yeah, I found this new thing," or, "Oh, I was researching this the other day." So the people that are interested in growing themselves are often the people that are interested in helping you grow as well. And I think that's super important. Knowing the people that are going to be honest with you. And this is huge. My ex was super mad about this because whenever I was venting about our relationship to somebody, he always thought, "Oh, you're just going to people who are going to back you up and take your side." And he felt like I was ganging up on him with friends. But I only went to friends where I trusted they were going to give me an honest opinion and tell me, "No, you maybe shouldn't have said that, or maybe shouldn't have did that," or, "No, like, I think this was okay, but maybe here's a different way you would have approached it." So you know those people that are going to tell it to you straight and be honest with you and not just kind of sugarcoat everything and like, "Oh yeah, that guy's a total jerk." Those people that are like, "Well, yeah, that really wasn't right, but here's maybe how you could have showed up a little bit differently." So find those people who are willing to be authentic and honest with you and value those relationships, because those are the people that are like really steady by your side, going to support you no matter what, those types of people.
I totally agree. And I just want to add to that as well, because unfortunately, I've been in a situation where some of those green flags that you mentioned was actually done by someone that had an ulterior motive and was out there with ill intent. I definitely think that one of the biggest green flags in a new relationship is my gut feeling. I love knowing that I've gone to a date and I felt safe from start to beginning. And I didn't feel like someone was boundary bashing me.
Yeah, it's so weird how you can tell, right? Like you just get in a space with somebody, and sometimes your body is on guard and you don't know why. And you're like, this feels weird. Like he's leaning in for a kiss, and my instant reaction is, I want to lean away. But, we just started dating, and so I should want this to happen. Or, he's asking me all these questions, and just something doesn't feel right. So you're 150% right. Like, listen to that gut, because your body knows best, and it tells us things all the time. And a lot of times we just ignore it. But paying attention is definitely very important.
Yeah, listen to your gut and just have a look at what that person does when you set boundaries. I remember during the love bombing phase, the person that eventually became my partner had bought me some things that were really useful. And I remember receiving that and going, no, this is too much. I actually cannot receive this. And at the time, I wasn't in a relationship with him. I had no intention of ever being in a relationship with him. And I actually said to him, I want you to take this back because I can't accept this. This gift is too much. And later on, I've realized that eventually it was like there was this bank. So there was eventually this buildup of me feeling like I owed him something. And he actually said to me, you better not return that or I'll get really mad. And that as a red flag, because it was like, why, how can you say to someone, I will get angry at you if you don't accept this gift, or I will get mad? That is such manipulation. Ladies, if you're listening, that's such manipulation. And a lot of it was with an ulterior motive.
Did you kind of have this moment, because I feel like this happens a lot. He has all of these really positive things that he's doing, and he gets you this equipment, and you say, no, I can't take this. And he says, well, if you don't, I'm going to be really mad. There's all that positivity, like false positivity, basically built in there. Did your brain just kind of go, oh, haha, he must be joking? Like we kind of write it off sometimes. It's like, well, he can't really mean that, because all of these other things don't say he's a threat, but this one particular thing, like you should take it seriously, but it's so easy to write off.
I definitely remember that moment. I remember thinking and even saying out loud, like, yeah, funny. No, I need to return this. And he was like, no, I'm going to get mad. And that is such a sign. Looking back now, when I look back and I go, okay, younger Phoebe, my goodness,
What were you doing?
it's okay to say no. It's okay to set boundaries. This is how you say no. This is how you literally put your hand up and say, don't come, into my space, for example. So there's been a lot of practices that took me being in my 30s before I learned how to do that. And I see people that are in their 40s and their 50s that still don't know how to set strong boundaries. So it's definitely not an age thing. It's just if you didn't grow up knowing how to do that, and you were maybe a people pleaser, or you always wanted to look after other people and take responsibility for their emotions. Like, I think a lot of children feel like they've got to protect their parents as well. You can easily fall into these dynamics. I'm just grateful that it just took one of those relationships for me to snowball into learning about all of this stuff.
I wish they would teach that in school. It's not something that they teach of, like, okay, here's how you set boundaries and here's how you enforce them. And I'm so glad you mentioned, like, I actually had to literally have somebody walk me through this, because we always think, right, that we're gonna do the thing and we're gonna say the thing, and then we actually get in that situation, and then we go, so knowing how to do that, but actually practicing how to do that, is super, super important. In psychology, there's the Gestalt method that you can do, where you're basically talking to an empty chair and you just imagine the other person in the chair. And the other person can be the person that you're in that toxic relationship with. It could be your boss, it could be yourself, but you know these people. And so you kind of get to practice having that conversation, imagining how they're going to respond. So you kind of have this little playbook of scenarios, and then what you're going to do. If they say this, then I'm going to respond with this. But getting those words out verbally and practicing them, so once you get in there, you're confident, because it's like getting up on stage to speak. Your body is just, if you're not confident and you don't know what you're doing and you haven't practiced it, Your brain just goes blank and muscle memory fills in. And if your muscle memory is just to shut down and say, okay, that's fine, that's a problem. So having that script and being able to practice and just go in there with confidence and stand your ground. I remember when I told my boss I was quitting, she told me when my last day was going to be. And I said, no, my last day is going to be this day. And she said, well, that's not 2 week notice. My heart was pounding in my chest so hard, I thought I was going to have a heart attack in the office right there. But I said, I am not legally required in this state to give you 2 weeks notice. This is my last day.
I love it.
You have to just have that confidence and do it. And it's going to be scary as all get out. You think you're going to die,
Oh,
and it's like
yes.
everything is terrifying, but you just have to do it. Believe in yourself.
You go, girl. All power to you. I love that so much. I absolutely
The
love that.
scariest thing I've ever done in my life.
Yeah, and that's hard. Setting boundaries is very hard, man or woman. Like, this is something that I have conversations with guy friends all the time as well. You know, I mean, some guys are also very afraid of disappointing the other person or saying no. And they also feel those emotions, the feeling like it's a bit of butterflies, it's anxiety. It's as you say it out loud, you will see the tone start to shift and you will watch yourself and go, oh, wow, I did that. And you
Yeah.
reprint back to yourself that confidence, and you'll go, oh my goodness, I did that. I said it. And you almost take a step back. And that is
Yeah.
a powerful moment. That is a powerful moment. Even if you have to break a frame to establish no and say, no, I am putting an end to this. And I had to like do that for me to see my own strength and power and go, I am reclaiming my power back. As of today, you are not going to see me step back and treat myself to this abuse. And I'll never forget that. That day caused a lot of havoc because then there was just drama. And of course, the abuser always says the other person's the abuser and flips the script. But it's so important that we reclaim that. In a workplace environment, I can imagine you would have felt that your manager or your boss, there's this power at play as well.
It's like, oh, if I say this right now, are they going to fire me? But at that point, it was like, I don't care. I value myself more than being treated like this. And I'm done giving her the power. The power is mine to take. I
Yeah.
just need to step up and take it. Whatever happens, fine. I'll just have an extra week of vacation and I'll figure out the money part, and that's fine.
I love that. That's amazing, Audrey, because you've gone, no, I'm not settling for this. I deserve better. And unfortunately, a lot of people, when they're in those environments, they don't realize they deserve better. So they keep going back and they say, it takes an average of 7 goes in a romantic setting for someone to leave a toxic relationship. And that's an average. So, all power to you, girl. That's awesome. Audrey, my last question for you before we dive into the rapid fire questions is, how can someone improve or change the way they show up so that they can create more authenticity and shed old patterns that make them shrink or make them play small?
Yeah, definitely values and boundaries are a huge part of that. If you're not clear on those, it's going to be very difficult to kind of create that. I found something the other day is like, you don't want to create the best version of yourself. You want to create the favorite version of yourself, because best is an achievement and favorite can change from day to day. So what's important to you? How are you going to stand up for yourself in that space? Who you surround yourself with is really important. So making sure that you have those positive, uplifting people in your life. So that's a really big one. And then also realizing that your habits are there for a reason and they're serving a purpose. So this is something I learned when I was doing my graduate work in psychology. We have these little habits, and sometimes they work for the short term and they just kind of like shut off that alarm light of something is wrong. Like, oh, I don't feel good. I'm going to go do XYZ. But it's not serving us in the long term and what we really want for our lives. So as you start to examine, I noticed that when my partner starts getting frustrated, I just kind of shut down and sit on the couch. It's serving the short term purpose of we're not getting into an argument right now, and that feels good. But what's the longer term goal? Is it to be in a healthy relationship where you have good communication? Well, that habit isn't really serving that. And again, it's scary to stand up and say, I don't want this. I don't receive this. We need to have good communication. And if you're willing to work with me on that, great, let's do it. If you're not willing to work with me on that, then I gotta go. With my ex, it was very much, I literally told him, this is the last time that we can do this. I said, we need to fix this. And if we don't fix it, I need to walk away. Because it was those little habits of like, okay, well, he shuts down when we try to have conversation. So maybe I just need to tweak how I'm saying things and realizing, okay, this is maybe working short term. It's maybe not working short term, but it's definitely not working long term. You know, there's definitely a lot to be said for energy matching, being around people who are going to match that same. Like, if you're willing to work on the relationship and they are, that's great. If you think, hey, let's go to couples therapy because maybe nothing's wrong, but we want to strengthen the foundation that we have, and they're like, oh, yeah, let's do it, that's great. If they say, oh, no, therapy, I don't want to go to therapy. You know, anyone who's not really interested in improving themselves, so that to me is like, maybe you don't need to be in my circle, right? So just looking at your life and saying, okay, what's serving me short term, and maybe scratching that itch to say, okay, everything's fine for right now, but you know it's going to come back around again later. And then what long term do you really want for your life, and how are the things that you're doing contributing to that? Because if they're not, maybe there needs to be a shift.
Thank you so much for what you've just shared. And I'm so grateful I've had you on the show. It's been wonderful.
Yeah, it's been fantastic. Thank you so much.
I'm looking forward to now diving deep into knowing a little bit more about you, Audrey. Let's get started. So, we've got five rapid fire questions, and basically, it's whatever is the answer at the top of your head, that's the correct answer.
Great. There's no way to screw this up, right?
All right, so rapid fire question number one. If there was one thing that you cannot live a single day without, whether it's something physical or non-physical, what would it be?
My fiance and my cats.
Ooh, question two. What or who inspires you to do what you do today?
Part of it is my fiance. He's fantastic. But another part is my mom, because she has always been a person who's like, follow your heart. And even if she didn't agree with me, she supported me. And then after the fact, she was always there for me to cry on the phone to or whatever. But she's also modeling that in her own life and following her heart and what she wants to do. Like, this job's not a good fit. This one seems better. I'm going to go for it. So she's been a really big inspiration.
Oh, beautiful. Where do you see yourself in 5 years' time? What do you want to have accomplished, or who do you want to be?
I want to be in control of my own time. I'm so excited for that. My partner and I are working on some things right now so that I can take a month in Paris. I would love to live in Paris, and maybe like not even
Oh,
Paris, maybe even France. So if I can get to that
yes.
point, I'm going to be so happy. We were walking around eating croissants. Life was wonderful.
Oh my goodness, that's actually my 5-year goal as well. Somewhere in France or Portugal. I'm very, very lucky that I can have that. My dad's half Portuguese, so I've got the luxury of
Oh,
an
nice.
EU passport. So I'm very excited to do something similar. And maybe in 5 years' time, we'll be eating croissants somewhere in the
Yeah.
south of France together.
Perfect. I would love it.
Okay, what's one big takeaway that you've had recently that changed the way you see the world or changed the way you show up?
That's such a hard one. Being in the right room. I recently went to an event for coaches and speakers. And when you're surrounded by people who are just like mentally checked out, I've been in this job for 20 years, I'm almost done, or people who are kind of those negative Nancys and like always complaining about something, being in that room of people who were motivated and like ready to step up and help each other, and they allowed themselves to dream and they were doing things to go after those dreams. I came home so fired up. I was writing so many notes, and okay, I'm going to start working on this book that I've been thinking about for a year, and I'm going to start, you know, being more active on social media. And like, just to be in that room just changed the trajectory of my life in so many ways. And it's just so important to be in a room of people that make you feel that way. I think that's so important.
Couldn't agree more. All it takes is one person to completely shift your energy and change your trajectory. And when you're in a room full of people that are like that, it shifts so much. That's awesome to hear that. Audrey, it has been so nice having you on the show. I've loved our conversation. I've really, really enjoyed speaking with you. And to all the listeners, I hope that you are feeling uplifted after this episode, that you've walked away with insight and there are conversations that you can continue to have after hearing this one. If today's conversation resonated with you, make sure to hit that follow or subscribe button. And if you can leave us a rating or a review, that would be the cherry on top because it helps more listeners to find our show. And don't forget to share this episode with your friends, family, and anyone who might find it valuable. And Audrey, once again, it's been such a delight. I hope that you've enjoyed this. I've definitely enjoyed it. And I look forward to seeing you reach your 5-year goals and having more of these conversations in the upcoming future.
It was absolutely an honor. Thank you so much for having me, and we will definitely see each other in Paris.
That sounds really good. Thanks, Audrey. Speak soon. So thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to seeing you inspired to thrive.